Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. We are going to get started today, my friends. I have a beautiful guest that's doing some amazing work and going to teach us how to, be a little more present in our lives. So let me introduce you to, hello, Verania.
Hey. And now most people know me by Nia.
Yes, most people know you as Nia Peoples, the actress and the author and the singer and the dancer and all these great arts. But
I'll try anything once.
You know what? I guess you've done it all, right?
I've been around for sure. Yeah.
Well, so some people, I know this might be a surprise, but some people may not know you. And I actually love your bio, the one that you shared. So I'm going to read your bio so everybody knows a little bit about what your title is and then actually what you would say about yourself, because I thought this was great. So for those of you that are familiar with Nia, you probably remember her from a variety of different shows, but Fame, Walker, Texas Ranger, Pretty Little Liars, as well as her jaunt in the music industry with her number one record, Trouble. She's an American actress, singer, dancer, and most known for those roles. However, what she would like to say about who she is, the only significance in any of that I just shared is that the highlights of my career can most specifically be accredited to a degree of listening to one's own calling, lining up with that, and allowing for its natural expansion. Recently, I knew it was time to revisit that calling. I now know my deepest desire is simply to flow love by living it out loud, experiencing the power and the joy of standing in integrity and alignment with it, and empowering others to do the same. Nia has completed her first book, The Little Apple Tree, and has launched an inspirational online community at humanharmonics.life, which invites and supports people into alignment with their true nature. So that's quite a shift, my friend. So I'm looking forward to hearing about the journey.
Well, you know, it's funny because people go, it's a shift. And you think about it, and you go, well, it's kind of been, you know, it's what made Nia Peoples work ultimately. Yeah. You know, that calling inside is what made it work, because she, Verinia, that the soul part of me is always in there, just trying to move more into the fleshly part of me, where I get to choose how I express it rather than waiting for invitations from certain people, you know, to ask you, will you come act? Will you come sing? Will you write this? Will you do this? And waiting for the invitation, you start to listen more deeply and you realize, wait, I have my own expression in this. And it takes a lot of faith to kind of stop keeping yourself busy with the ways people want you to show up, in order to stop and listen and go, wait, how is my soul wanting to show up? Because it's way more powerful that way.
Yeah.
You know? So, and it takes a willingness to just go, I don't know what this looks like, but you kind of lean and just know when you're sitting in that space of love and when you're not, and that becomes your guidance system. So,
I love it, because I think that's what we're learning right now in this whole pandemic is, you know, we've been literally forced to stop, to slow down, to go within, whether it's go within our houses, go within our minds and our spirits, and actually tune into what we've been living and how that has been, what that looks like, and then maybe what's being called out, where we're calling ourselves, or what our spirit is calling us to actually to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so interesting that everyone is so confused right now, because we've been, you know, we think we're free to choose, but we haven't been paying attention to where we're getting our information or where our belief patterns come from. Mm-hmm. And so now with everything going, well, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. It's real. It's not real. It's this, it's that. The money is doing this. The economy is doing that. And you're just going, So the beauty of that is we are really having to listen.
Yeah.
Really listen and not take ourselves out of that equation, because I think the programming over millennia for human beings has been to be just to walk and talk as you're, we don't even ask what is my own feeling in this? What is that? And that's our guidance system. Ultimately, we're being called to pay attention to this new, it's not new, it's the true guidance system.
That's always been with, I mean, that's one of the things that the reason I started doing the Off the Cuff podcast was to be of service to people that are struggling with all of this information out here, and to remind everyone, we got to go inside. Yeah. We can't know the answer for somebody else. We might be able to help support, and we may be able to help give some guidance, but we can't know that, and we can't judge it. Like, we've really got to recognize and align with that intuition. And I think, you know, I as I read through kind of your bio and some of the things that you've, that you, where your heart is, that's the word I heard so often that you used: listening. Listening. And that's a big one for me too. And our intuition, listening, you know, filter out all this bullshit that's out here and all the stories and media and all this garbage, and go inside and listen to your intuition and make a decision based on yours. Because what we've been taught is listen to what they say, whoever the hell they are. I don't know who they are, but
I don't even know. Right? Yeah. And I think too, it's, to understand that like one of the things that I'm really understanding is that, it's in the choosing of love in each moment. So if I was living with this understanding and moving according to that understanding, and then I realize, whoa, that's misinformation. The moment I can transmute it within myself, I am moving things forward exponentially for consciousness as a whole. So it's not even, am I there? Do I have all the truth? It's, am I willing to take it in and turn it into truth by transmuting it into love? All of it, every step, every time I do that, I'm faced with something that's, oh my gosh, it was misinformation. Oh my gosh, it's not true. Oh my gosh. And then I'm able to, or even look at the evil. If we see certain things as like, wow, that's just downright wrong. It's downright evil. And be able to take it within ourselves and transmute it into love. With that's how we're adding so much to this forward momentum of the raising of consciousness.
Yes. Instead of just pushing against it and fighting, and making it expand, because anything we push against and anything we resist persists. So just absolutely shifting that energy. That's important for all of you to hear. I hope you're hearing it.
Listen.
Please listen. There's the word again.
Right. There it is. For sure.
So you did. You talked a lot about listening. And, you know, I think it's interesting, probably for a lot of people to hear, Verania, from you, because so Nia Peoples is the name that people know. And that's what, that's, you know, the journey that you wandered through for these last, I think you said 35 years in the entertainment business. And now you're claiming a new vibration to match kind of the energy of who you are today. So your name, I believe that's your actually given name.
Yeah. That's my birth name.
Given name.
Verania. Yeah.
Huh. That's your birth name. I love that name. It's beautiful. Does it mean something?
Well, my parents named me after the slave in Spartacus.
Well,
whatever.
Okay. So maybe we're not going to go with that meaning.
No. But you know, the thing is, I love the name Verania.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. I've always been interested when people change their names, and I thought, why do you need to do that? You're who you are. It doesn't change what my past has been or what I've, but there is this degree of being able to receive love as Verania that Nia cannot receive, because there's more attachment to my perception of what her responsibility is. Mm. You know, Nia Peoples has carried a degree of celebrity since she was 22. I'm 58. So that's a lot of years. And so even if you know, we think about ego as being, a lot of people say, oh, it's conceit, but that's not what it is. It's just attachment to form. And so because I've been in the public eye, my entire adult life, there is this understanding that people are looking at me and my name, and that means I need to be more responsible mm-hmm. for the impact that I have on people. And it just is a fact. Sure. If you're in the public eye, you're impacting a number of people, more people than the average person. But with that being said, there's an egoic tie to that responsibility, or my perception of responsibility. And it puts up a little bit of a block in how Nia can receive love. Mm. And with Varinia, it's just a softer feeling. And I feel like I can receive love in a way that Nia cannot, because there's not so many attachment to it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, and it makes sense too, that it's like Varinia is the wholeness of you.
Yeah.
And Nia was a part.
A little piece. That's what I did. Yeah.
Yeah. That I noticed that. I'm like, oh, that's where Nia came from. Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah. So embracing all of you and all of those pieces, and not having to, and so that would allow you to have a greater capacity to allow love in, I would think too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's beautiful. So we've been supposed to do an event together. like three different events, and pandemic came, and they've all been rescheduled. So they haven't been canceled, but they've been rescheduled. And so this is actually the first time that Varinia and I are meeting in person-ish.
Yeah.
But we do have some plans to do some events. So let's talk about the Human Harmonics, because I know you're excited about it. I went on and I read a little bit about the site. I saw your beautiful sacred geometry jewelry. You got your necklace on as one of the pieces, I think, right?
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Yep.
So I love sacred geometry. So I would love to hear, though, about how Human Harmonics came about and what you're doing there, and let everybody know.
Well, it's an interesting thing, because when you start really, really listening, and you know, you've defined yourself in a certain way. You know, I grew up in a certain industry, so I knew what I had to do, and I knew how to deliver it, and I knew how to raise a family in the midst of that. And that's enough. Like, that's pretty much your day.
Sure.
So as you start kind of letting go of some of those things, and it's not that I just went, okay, kids, I'm not your mom anymore. My youngest child went off to college a year early. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I was left there facing my husband. My fourth one, like, we'd been married for 10 years and it was my fourth marriage. And I just went, I can't do it any better. I can't work it any better than I'm doing. I don't know why this is failing. Mm-hmm. And so I really knew that there was something inside me that I was not understanding properly. And when she went off to college and I was there, and I realized, okay, this is the first time in almost 30 years, because I have an older son as well. Not that he was home until he was 30, but with her, I was raising for almost 30 years.
Yep.
I was, you know, I just went, what do you want? And I couldn't answer that question. And it made me sob, because I really believe that your soul speaks through your heart, and the language is deep, deep driving desire. And that's when I knew I had to go listen. So Human Harmonics is one of those things that was birthed out of that. During this walkabout, I really was just like, listen and step. When something felt like an invitation, I would go. Because in the responding to that, in my willingness to recognize it and acknowledge it and move upon it, reintroduced me to myself in a way I didn't know. And it took me through a lot of incredibly mystical experiences and teaching me that you're so much more than this body. Good Lord in heaven. So Human Harmonics was born out of this experience that I had in Israel, where we found this particular, this is backwards, so I get, it's the center of the flower of life. Mm-hmm. And they found it on one of the most ancient, it's like a one-of-a-kind altar in one of the most ancient synagogues in the world that they uncovered in the town of Mary Magdalene, of Magdala, which was Mary Magdalene's hometown. It's the only one in existence, and on the very top of it is this symbol. And the reason it's the only one of its kind is they could tell what the rest of it was. It was actually a depiction of the Second Temple of Solomon, but it was made while the temple was standing, which was against Judaic law at that time. Mm. And so on the top was not the menorah, it wasn't Star of David, it was this symbol, which is really the symbol of creation. It's the symbol that says we're all born of a divine, of the divine spark, right on the center of it. And so that was kind of the beginning of my mystical journey. And that's how Human Harmonics came to be. I didn't want to launch a jewelry company. I'm not a jewelry maker, you know, but it was this place that I wanted to create that acknowledged that we have a natural design and our nature is quantum. It isn't what we're being taught.
Right.
And so just to kind of lean into that and discover it. And so I just wanted to make a peaceful place for people to come. And I'm evolving it as I go because I've certainly learned I am not a web person. Like, how do you do this? I don't know. But I wanted a friendly community where people can go, where if something is being offered, some stuff is offered for free. People can choose different prices according to their wealth. Like some people are abundant in money. Some people are abundant in time. Some people are abundant in smiles and joy. And, you know, abundance is measured in more than just money. And so I just wanted to lay this whole other system down. So that's what we're doing over there.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And I noticed that you've got some freebies on that page too, right? Some they can grab some information and learn more. So it's humanharmonics.life.
Life. Yeah.
.life if you want to go check that out. I love the jewelry and it looked like it really it's the intention is though to create community, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You get a real nice vibe when you're there. So when you talked about this walkabout and you said, listen, step, listen, step, listen, step. Like I get that. How long did it take to listen before the step came? Like, I think a lot of people think as soon as you open up and you ask, then the sign just comes and you just go. Did you ever feel like, hello? Anybody there?
Well, it's a constant refinement. I mean, it just is, it's always there. It's like always knocking at you. And we're used to putting your head down and like focusing on what's right in front of your face. Yeah. Like I need to go there. We've already made the decision of what being healthy is. Like I need to go on a vacation. So I'm going on that vacation. The vacation needs to be there. And when I get back, I'm going to be rested. And no, you never are because you've just worked your ass off getting on that vacation. Mm-hmm. So it isn't following that. It really, really comes down to the smallest thing. Like stop. How does this make you feel? Mm-hmm. For me, it's the way that it feels. When I listen, it's like, does it feel like a push or an invitation?
Yeah.
Like, is it a push or an invitation? Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. And it's not even like if my daughter can invite me to dinner, one time it might feel like push and one time it might feel like an invitation.
Sure.
It's not what it is. It's like what it is while you are where you are in this present moment.
Yeah. Yeah. In the energy of the entire experience.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so it really was, okay, anything from, Peru looks interesting. All right. That's a little thing. Maybe I want to go to Peru. And once you take that, once you make even that little notice, like, wow, that I never noticed Peru before. That's interesting. Then stuff starts showing up. Suddenly Greg Braden is going to Peru and there's this invitation at a perfect time when you want it, or they just keep showing up. Something big like that, all the way down to stop mindlessly making your sandwich and stop and go, do I really want that avocado on there? Yes. In fact, I want a little pepper on there. You know, it's like, it's the smallest little things.
Yeah. But
that's how you start reintroducing yourself to yourself.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is so much about presence. Yes. It's real because it's not like I remember years ago, it's probably 20 years ago. I was obsessive with house cleaning, like taking care of the house. Everything had to be, you know, dusted, vacuumed every day, perfect, blah, blah, blah. And that was a whole control thing, right? And then one day I was like, okay, I've got to, like, I couldn't even like have a mess for my kids. Like I'd be cleaning up after them, you know, it's just so made sure it felt good and looked good. And then I heard somebody, and I don't remember who, say, think of housekeeping as like gratitude, you know, so do it from a place of gratitude. When you do it from a place of gratitude, you're present in the feeling of, I appreciate this couch, I appreciate this carpet. That completely helped me to get out of the control piece and into just the appreciation of. And so it was calling you into presence. So you're not just, you know, dusting and just doing something else while you're dusting, or like you said, making your sandwich.
Right.
Actually experiencing life while you're in it.
Yes. Yeah. Because we don't realize just how mindlessly we move through life.
Yeah.
And we're just keeping ourselves busy.
Yeah.
Just keeping ourselves busy because you meet yourself in stillness.
Yeah.
You know, so I remember when I started on that walk about, and it was like, okay, everything I thought was true is not. Like, I even asked myself, are you straight or are you gay? Like, what's wrong with you?
What do you like?
What can you make this marriage thing work? You know? And it was just
like, what was the answer? Did you have an answer?
Oh, I'm straight.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious.
But I'm a little pickier about men. No, it's just like, that pickier isn't even it. It's, there's a different thing that's inviting me in there. It's an energy that I feel instead of allowing someone to convince me of something and taking it through my brain and going, oh, he's this. No, it's like, how am I feeling about this? Right. It's totally that. But I remember when I first started, I just wanted the truth of who I am and I wanted to be able to move there. But the thing that I couldn't get to immediately was, what is the truth of who I am? But what was more easy for me to identify was, what were the lies? Mm. Because they felt like so much push. I'm going to push through cleaning this house because it needs to be spick and span and perfect and lined up for my kids and the people that are coming over. I need to have everything lined up. I need to make sure I have the grocery list done. I need to have, you know, push, 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 push. Okay. That is easier for me to identify straight up. So if I could just go, okay, that feels like push, I'm just not going to. Mm-hmm. And be okay with doing nothing.
Yeah.
Or be okay with not. The easiest way I could put it was, I put down the how-to books and picked up the who am I books. Mm-hmm. And it was like just listening and reading and feeling. So if I felt like I had to get up to go do something, just stop. Mm-hmm. Because it's in that stillness that you start unfolding.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And start discovering what you're looking for, which is the truth of who you are.
Yeah. And it's a little bit of a conundrum, because if you're looking, it's outside you. Mm-hmm. So it's this space of, okay, just stop looking outside, be present, and stuff drops into your awareness and you go, oh, that's me. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know.
Yes. So in those moments, for our audience, that I'm sure as you're saying this, you're like, okay, but all these other things, house still needs to be cleaned, the da-da-da still needs to be done, all of these different, you know, reasons, excuses, whatever we want to call it. And you're in that moment and you kind of can feel that. How did you start to allow yourself to stay in it so you didn't break out of it? Because I think that's, people get there and then they're like, and you know, distraction, you know, squirrel, whatever. And so how did, what worked for you to, I mean, was it really just like, I remember me sometimes with meditation, I would have to sit on my hands because my hands, you know, like I just have stuff going and I'm like, okay, I gotta sit here again and just keep pulling myself in. And that even felt like pushing at the time, but that's really the only way I could figure out how to start the process. Right. So what worked for you, Varinia?
Well, I'm really kinetic. Like I'm a dancer. I'm a martial artist. Everything for me is with the body, right? So walking, mm-hmm. and not allowing my mind to turn, but saying, notice, mm-hmm. notice what you're walking through. Oh, oh my God, the color on that tree. Oh, power. Whoa. And just, it becomes a meditation because it's taking your brain out of thinking and bringing you into that present moment awareness. Mm-hmm. And for me, walking and doing it really gives me this kinetic cellular like reprogramming of what it means to be in the present moment. Yeah. You know, I used to hike all the time because I was athletic. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to run up this hill and I'm going to hike and I'm going to work out all my problems in my head. Yeah. And that's a completely different experience.
Right. Right.
Completely. And so, you know, I think at the top of the list, really be forgiving with yourself. Mm-hmm. And because you'll start, you'll have that awareness and you'll see yourself being busy. The fact that you're aware that you're busy means that you're aware that's not right. You.
Yes. Yeah. Good job. We're just at least.
Yay. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think nature for me too, probably. And just more in the last probably 5 years where I've really appreciate nature has really helped me, pull into my presence in a much more powerful way than I never really identified with it before. I would do meditation, journal, do a lot of different things, but nature now is kind of my go-to.
Yeah.
Whether it's hiking or water or trees or walks or whatever, because it calls me in, I think, into the nature of who I am.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, it's never still.
Right.
Like it's always doing that dance with the universe, which is what we're doing. We just have without even recognizing it, right? Yeah. This is what we're meant to flow with it. Mm-hmm. And so she's always supporting us in that. That's always, always, always. And for anyone who has been in the ocean or who has surfed, you know, if you go in that ocean and you try to fight your way in when the tide is coming out.
Yeah. You lose your top. That's what you do.
You lose your top and sometimes your pants.
You do.
But there's this really lovely dance that you do with the water. I mean, as a surfer, like, you know when to get in the water to paddle out and let the water take you out. And when it's coming in, you've got that board and you don't push against it. You let it carry you.
Yeah.
You just let it. You pick your feet up. Like, even if you're holding your board and you're walking, if the water's waist high as it moves you out, you just let it take you a little bit out, knowing that it's going to bring you in, pick your feet up, and she'll drop you right very peacefully on the sand. Mm-hmm. But you don't fight it because she'll kick your butt.
Yeah. And I think, too, don't fight it. And we think, because the same thing's happening out here, we think that we're in control of it. Right? Like, right. We think we have control, but the reality of it is, and I thought that was perfect that you said, the flow is already happening. We're going with it. Whether you think you are or not doesn't really matter. You're going.
Right. Right. Yeah. And so the choice is either you go kicking and screaming, trying to go out the other side, or you ride that wave.
Yes.
This is why surfers are so, I think they're so addicted to surfing, because all that is energy caught up in water.
Yeah, for sure.
So when you lock in, mm-hmm. yeah, you're riding it and you're like creating with it, with this energy, and you're dancing with it. And it's addictive because this is the way we're supposed to be flowing through life.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I've never surfed, but I have, just let the way, I mean, I love water. Water's my thing.
I'm
a water girl for sure. For sure. So, okay. So you've done a lot of things. You've been all over. You've done a walkabout. You've had lots of life experience in this physical lifetime. And one of the things that I read that, and I know this is one of the things we were going to be working on together, is you have started to present programs like the young people have really become an important aspect of your work, and sharing in communities and schools and teaching. I'd love for the audience to hear a little bit, Vrenia, about what you're doing, because I think this is a side that a lot of people don't know about.
Right. It's evolving. It's evolving for me. But with the writing of The Little Apple Tree, it's such a beautiful, poignant little book. And I mean, I woke up and I thought, I need to tell this. And it's actually an allegory about divorce, but it's about the harmonization of the masculine and the feminine and believing in the magnificence and that call that you have from within you and having faith to stand up in it. And when you do answer that call, you're giving everyone else around you the greatest opportunity to stand up in their greater selves.
Yes.
So what happened with that book is I just thought, okay, I'll write it. And it just wrote itself in 3 hours. And then it ended up a book in like 3 months. Itself.
See, guys, they just say write themselves. When you get into the flow, it's true, right?
It's really true.
It just comes through.
Completely. And so there's this magic happening around it where, you know, one teacher got a hold of it and went, wow, my kids need to have this in school. And so she started a program in writing, you know, creating all this curriculum around the essence of the little apple tree. And it's completely shifted her class. And then, of course, it's moved out to other grades. And it's actually mandatory reading at the high school level in Bogota.
Mm, wow.
Which, because it's such a simple but poignant story, it's really about the relationship to yourself. Mm-hmm. And so parents cry when they read it, because and it's really, there's two characters in it, the little apple tree and the little farmer. And I've been both in my life, and we all will be both in mm-hmm. our lives at some point. But it has this really kind way of telling people, listen, you are magnificent. Mm-hmm. And you listen to that and honor that, because that's your greatest contribution to the world.
Yeah.
Is to stand up in that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of gives people permission to acknowledge it and go, okay, I am unique and I have this thing and I matter.
Yeah.
And so
and I'm to own it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because I think we were raised to, you know, like, don't give yourself too much attention. Don't, you know, don't, it wasn't not shine your light, but for sure, don't be too bright. You
right.
know, make yeah. sure you fit in.
It's all about hard work.
Yeah.
Like, you can do anything a man can do. I remember that's what my dad would say. Like, do I want to do anything
not a man really. Can do?
What about what I want to do? You know? Yeah. We're not taught to pay attention to what those callings are at all. We're told to shut that off,
yeah.
shut the imagination off, you know, and put your head down and push. And right. I know what, you know, focused energy is focused energy. It
sure.
is. And it will get you places. And that's why I've succeeded at so many things at such a high level, but there was always this low grade satisfaction, because no matter how high of a mountain I climbed and how good it felt the minute I got there, the next minute it was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Now I need to find the next mountain.
Yeah.
And it's gotta be higher.
Yeah. Yeah. Always another one.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And so really all we're after is happiness. And that comes out of the fulfillment of what our soul is here to do. And that means express it mm-hmm. to your delight. It's not separate from the experience of delight in this world.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So in your workshops, so because you're going in and doing workshops with some of these, what age range is it?
Well, we've done them from the workshops change the mm-hmm. type of workshop it is, but the essence of it is the same. With the kindergartners, we actually bring fifth graders in to help them, but we're workshopping it from about fourth grade all the way up to the high school level.
Okay. Yeah. Such an important time for their own understanding and connecting to their own identity and the identity in here internally, our spirit, our soul, instead of the external, you know, how we show up, what people think we are.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
listen, I workshopped it with one group of high school girls and their mothers.
Oh, wow.
And that was a really interesting experience.
Wow.
Because, you know, at that stage, pretty much, you know, there's this going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The parents, the mom wants to make sure that the kids are safe and that they're doing everything the right way. And at that stage, the girls are going, listen, I'm turning into a woman myself. I need to express my own. So there's a lot of this. And so with the little apple tree, it gave them kind of an understanding of each other that mm-hmm. even though the actions might be wrong, it's from a state of love. It's like it's out of their desire to love. Mm-hmm. each other that's causing this conflict.
Yeah.
And so what is the greater calling in that? Like, what is the most powerful aspect for each of them in this experience as they transition into this new relationship, really?
Mm-hmm.
And it really is about their relationship to themselves.
Yes.
And so it was really, it kind of let everybody relax mm-hmm. and have a greater understanding for where the other one's coming from and mm-hmm. give themselves permission to stand up in their own beauty and magnificence.
I would imagine that it is helpful. I had sons. I didn't have any daughters, but I have granddaughters, and it's different, you know.
That seems impossible.
listen to this. I just cleaned out my closet and I saved my clothes for my 13-year-old granddaughter, and she is taller than me already, and I'm 5'7" almost. Oh, so I'm like, Lord. Oh my gosh. but anyway, when I raising boys was, it's just different. It's different. Girls are different. It's not that one's better or worse. But what I notice is that as a mother, I would think that like a workshop like that, where you're with your daughter at that time in your life, that it would help the mothers heal some of their own childhood pains. Because what I recognize is our kids, depending on the ages that they are, if we had issues around that age, I think it triggers us and it opens us up to the possibility of healing some of that through the experience of the reflection we're getting from our kids.
Absolutely.
Did you see that? Yeah, that's
absolutely. And also, you know, when you have that kind of an experience when you're growing up, you move into then your adult relationships with the same thing going on, the same pattern.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was a good way for them to heal what had happened in the past and recognize how what happens in the past, that patterning, is creating their relationship now.
Yes.
Yeah. So exactly. Yeah. A lot of healing going on.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Well, I am very excited to one day when we have the ability to be in groups again, to be able to share these messages, because it's so powerful.
Absolutely. Oh my God, it's my absolute delight, you know.
Me too. It's my favorite thing. I miss touching people and hugging people and being in the room and the energy. I mean, this is great. This is a great alternative. I'm so grateful for technology, but the energy of of the room when the lights are clicking on, you know, and it's so exciting.
Are you not driving around right now at all? Are you doing no driving?
I haven't much, actually, not much. I actually just went to Southern Utah on vacation to go pick up my granddaughters. And that was really the first time I've done much. I went to a restaurant and ate outside the first time in 5 months was then. So I haven't been doing much at all. And you know, I think for me, it's, I don't feel a great concern in the sense of I really feel okay within myself, but I have people around me that I have to be mindful of, you know? And so I feel like that's part of my responsibility right now.
Yeah. And it's really important that everybody listen to whatever that specific thing is.
Exactly.
I mean, it really is. For me, I'm alone. So I'm running my ass all over the place constantly. Like, I'm off to Mount Shasta. I'm off to, you know.
Yeah. And that's perfect. And so, and I think, but that goes right back to what we started talking about at the very beginning, was when you listen to your own intuition, your own guidance system, it's going to tell you what is in alignment for you. And when you follow that, then the ripple effect of that is it helps honor everyone else listening to their guidance system.
Yes.
You know, instead of going, oh, well, they shouldn't be doing that. How do you know what I'm supposed to be doing or not?
Exactly. And you have, I mean, and you know that when you're sitting in that space of really allowing yourself to trust that, you don't have judgment on yourself. And therefore, you don't have judgment on anybody else.
Exactly.
Every time I open up my big mouth and make some kind of crazy judgment about something, I realize, there's some way some standard that I'm holding myself to and judging myself that needs to be healed, for sure.
And always then being able to say, okay, if I look inside, then I don't have to have the reflection outside any longer.
That's right.
I think that's the part that's so scary for people, though, is because they see it outside, but they're not wanting to necessarily get quiet enough and stay in the space to look inside.
Right. And that's where all the answers are there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They aren't outside, guys, just in case you're wondering. So the bottom line is listen.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of just off the cuff questions for you. These are just questions about, you know, just fun, lighthearted things. Okay. So you said you're by yourself. So you're kind of traveling all over and checking things out. What is something that you have bought over the past year that you cannot live without?
Something that I bought?
Yeah. Like, what's your very most important thing that, like, right now you can't live without. Maybe it's something you use when you're traveling. I don't know. Maybe it's your passport. Who knows?
I've had that though. Like just in the last year, I don't think, honestly, I can't think of anything.
I mean this,
but I didn't really purchase this in the last year.
But it's something.
It's my go-to thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me what you feel when you wear that, Varenya.
I feel a remembrance.
Mm.
I feel, you know, my soul is very connected to that timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And there were just so many mystical things that were happening to me. And when I say to me, I mean, it's not something usually for me, it happens in dream time or it happens in deep meditation or it's happened as I'm walking in nature, mystical, just animals, the sky opens up at random, like all of that is astounding to me. And you know, there was a moment that I had in a place called Medjugorje, which is a place of pilgrimage for a lot of Catholics, because Mother Mary's been showing herself there in apparitions since like 1984, every single day. And her message is really beautiful. God didn't create religion, man did, and it's time to come back to love. That's basically
right
her message.
Bottom line.
Yeah, and when I was there, I had a visitation from her. Mm. And of course, every time I feel her frequency, I would just start weeping. The heart opens and it's like, oh, you're just overcome with this weeping. And I was asking her, why am I here? Mm-hmm. And she showed me this picture of myself with my arms out to the side, and I was spinning in a circle, and I was surrounded by every race, religion, nation, all the things that define us and separate us. And I was pointing to each one of them going, there's the love in that, and there's the love in that, in that, in that, in that, in that. And she goes, you know what love is. Write it. And I said, write it where? And she said, write it everywhere. And then I asked her, I said, why do I keep having these visions of Mary Magdalene? Because I didn't know anything about either one of them. I'm not Catholic. I don't know anything about that. Mm-hmm. And I had been experiencing these extraordinary dreams of interaction with Yeshua, and always about love, the love that surpasses understanding. And I said, why do I keep having this? And she said, I said, is it important? And she said, only so you know that the work you do is holy work, mm-hmm. and you began it long ago, meaning love.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning love, like you know what this frequency is. That's it, be it. And that's why this is something that I travel with all the time. Now, in my mind, of course, I know if it got ripped off in a wave and it's not there, it's still here.
right. But it's nice to have. Sometimes we like something physical as a symbolism of just to keep us, again, connected, present, remembrance. I like that, remembrance.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another question for you. What is, in a word or two, what is your greatest challenge?
Oh, in the moment, that right now? Mm-hmm. Right now? The greatest challenge is negotiating and melding, moving in the 3D and in this other space that I found, like melding them together. And I'm realizing that I'm doing it more than I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. It's when I start judging myself according to old patterns of belief. So like, what's coming out of that, Nia? What are you doing? What are you doing about that? Because I'm wandering around contemplating all day long. I'm not really doing anything. So the greatest challenge is being willing to expand, knowing that I'm perfect right where I am, right here, right now, and allowing it to express on this plane as my soul desires. Mm. Without, you know, getting caught in that trap of judging, how is it really showing up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get that. I get it. Okay. What is your greatest quality?
My greatest quality? Mm-hmm. You're asking me?
I am.
quality. I think life is amazing. And I think people are flipping amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think my greatest quality is my ability to see that amazingness, like recognize it in its frequency, not in how it's even looking or not in how it's showing up in the physical, but to gently see and recognize. See is maybe the wrong word because that suggests that I'm seeing it with my eyes, but to recognize that love part of people.
I love it.
But don't piss me off.
Because if we piss you off, then what happens? You lose the love piece for a minute.
That's
you
go right.
It's over the side.
I become very
I'll be back. Okay. What is something that most people don't know about you?
Oh. That my name's Varinia. I think most people don't know that I am, that my life is, I mean, they suspect it, but I don't think most people know in the physical, like how devoted I am to knowing what love is more. In other words, how it manifests in the physical form. Like they see me traveling all the time, but they think it's just, I'm just traveling because I like to travel. And they know that I am devoted to love and I love that. But I think most people don't understand how that shows up in the physical world for me in terms of how I move around and about.
Sure. By the listening and taking the step.
Yeah. It's very, it's very loose. It's not, there's not a whole lot of planning that goes on with it. There's no agenda. That's
no agenda. No agenda. It's just following spirit. Last question I have for you is, do you have any favorite quotes?
Oh, yes. It's from A Course of Love. And it says, love creates like itself and is forever one with what's created.
That's beautiful. I love it. I love quotes. I don't remember them right. Like I usually mess them up when I say it, but I love quotes. Like I have a whole book of like just ones that I've kept everywhere just for years and years and years.
I love them. Oh, wait, I got to give you one more.
Okay. Give me one. Okay. I think you couldn't just give me one.
Okay. Alive within the energy field, single one of you is a light so abundant, so overwhelmingly alive. But to touch upon it would heal your longing hearts.
Okay, guess what? You cut out for a minute, so you have to say the whole thing again.
Okay, here we go. All right. Alive within the energy field of every single one of you is a light so abundant, so overwhelmingly alive, that to touch upon it would heal your longing hearts.
Ooh, I like that one. That one
gives That's a good out. One. That's Ooh. A good I kind of, where was that from? I can remember.
Pulled it right on down.
I love that one.
Oh, I do too. I love it.
Yeah.
All right, Varinia, it was so wonderful spending this time with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on and for everything that you're doing. And it's so nice to see your little face.
I know. Well, I'm really excited. Those of you that have been watching, if you're watching on the replay, please go check out humanharmonics.life. You can go check out Varinia's new community, and there's some info there. The little apple tree, you can check that out and grab that. Beautiful. It was such a joy to connect with you, and I look forward to, we're going to be doing an event in Colorado sometime. We're going to be doing an event in at Unity Village sometime together. So you guys keep an eye out on that with the two of us, and we don't know when, but you know, Once spirit guides us there and it all lands perfectly, we'll be there.
It'll happen. All right, honey. Love you.
Thank you, my friend. Mwah.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.